Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is Believe in Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Doesn't it?
Wilcox with an up and out. Wide open. Touchdown. Israel Truth.
Snap to Young, drops back, pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline, and it's intercepted. Intercepted, Keely Ringo at the 21. Off he goes, 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, near sideline. Breaks the tackle, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Good evening, neighborhood. How about them dogs?
32, 18. Let the celebration begin.
Right. Hello, everybody. What's happening? It's the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Network. I'm Corey Burton. Joining me is my man, Israel Troop. Israel, before we really get started, how are things going? How did week two go for you guys? Did you guys get this one in?
Well, yeah, week two, finally the first game, it was dry. You know, we won 41-3. It's pretty much it's just a great performance all around. Special teams, all three phases, which we'll get into here in a little bit after watching last night's game. But all three phases played well. You know, we just did. We came together as a team. We got a big one this week against the number one team in 4A, Benedictine, this week, winning state champions. So we're coming into our house, Memorial Stadium, Friday night. So it'll be a big one.
So if you're in if you're in Southeast Georgia, you need to head over there to Ware County and check this one out. This will be a battle for the ages. We got shelled last week. We're a very young team. We ran into a buzzsaw of a team who made a deep playoff run last year and returned a lot of players and was just kind of better than us up front. Our special teams were lacking. And our ability to tackle was lacking too. I got a little choked up trying to think about that. So
trying to get that out, I completely understand.
Yeah, it was definitely frustrating. But we're brought to you by Bet Online. It is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, events with first market odds and lines. You can find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. So BetOnline continues to be your top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELEAV50, that's BLEAV 50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. We got an action-packed show. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to recap in week one. Is a very, very action-filled week one, even outside of the SEC. And we're going to kind of take a look and preview the week two matchup with the Sanford Bulldogs. And then we also, of course, are going to make all of our picks as well. So title of this episode is Roast Duck, and we'll get into that. We'll break that down in just a second. But how did you do in your betting this week?
Man, I did awesome, man. The only team that let me down, which I knew better, because East Carolina, that first game at 12 o'clock, plays whoever they're playing very hard. And that game is usually closer. I knew better, but I just felt like Coach Dorn and that staff would, you know, squeak it out, which they did. But, you know, the Pirates, man, they did a great job of holding them right there. twice on the goal line. And that poor kicker, man, he can't go anywhere right now. I mean, had two chances to get it done.
I know.
So special teams, man. Special teams is important. You know,
special teams is important.
That extra point is very, very valuable. I did really well. The game of the week that surprised me, obviously game day was there, was the Ohio State game. I thought they were a little bit more fireworks, but I love to see the defense from both sides. Going into, I think Notre Dame here at their own, but they're tagged on offense right now, which usually they aren't. It's usually the fact that they can't play defense is usually the problem.
You knew Marcus Freeman was gonna bring it. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. And the most entertaining game has to be not only yesterday's game, but the Appalachian State North Carolina game had to be the most entertaining game. How do you give up 40 quarter? And you know, Gene Chizik is a great defensive. Ooh, he's got to be spinning his wheel. He's got to think about, man, I should have stayed in the booth. This,
I should have stayed on TV. Things have done change since I last was out here on this field. Yeah, he might be a great and brilliant defensive mind, but I don't know if he brought that on Saturday or not. He's probably scratching his head trying to figure a few things out. Going, okay, this guy, it's like an advanced calculus equation for him. He's like, this guy's gonna go here. Okay, absolutely. All right.
Wait for the Coach 30 version of the North Carolina Appalachian State game. Wait for that. He's done Oregon and he's done Florida State. I can't wait for Appalachian State when to come out.
That's my favorite. I love that segment. Coach 30, absolutely. So going to this LSU FSU game, man, it's like I went into this game like I was all week flip flopping. Like, you know, I have a feeling about Florida State. And then I was like, nah, it's LSU. You know, they're probably better up front. You know, Florida State probably hasn't quite built up their offensive line and defensive lines. They're probably, you know, they'll play hard, but I think LSU is going to come out and probably win by 10 points. And, you know, it's going to be one of those games where FSU's in it, but they're not really in it. And boy, was I wrong. But then on SEC After Dark, I made the decision. I was like, you know what? I have a feeling about Florida State. Something weird is about to happen. And I picked Florida State. I should have put money on it, but I picked Florida State.
You know what? I should have texted you because I was torn all day, actually. I was like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with LSU. No, I'm going to go with Florida
State. Well, you texted me about Ohio State, and I steered you wrong on that. I don't blame
Notre Dame.
You know what it's about. You know to go opposite. I like that. My man is understanding the assignment here.
Man, but last night, I mean, I was torn. But that game was phenomenal. You know, I just tweeted just a little while ago before we got on. We know LSU is LSU right now. Coach Kelly's got work. You know, got his work warm. On that, but you know, just watching that game, Florida State is much, much, much improved. From a couple of years ago to where they are now, you know, Coach got with them. The guys are playing hard. You saw a couple of them were emotional, you know, saying, you know, you guys don't know what we've been through, which, you know, we see, you know, on Saturday what you guys have been through. So, you know, to see them beat them, like, no matter what rank or how bad the game might look, if you beat an LSU, I mean, that means you're doing something good.
You beat LSU in the Superdome, which
– absolutely. Their hometown.
The Superdome used to be Knoll Country because they would always play in the Sugar Bowl. But, you know, just to see where they've been, it was great to see that Jordan Travis had command of that offense.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to see that they were better up front. They could actually run the ball defensively. They were making stops. They were making things really difficult for LSU's offensive line. They were harassing Jaden Daniels all night long. And it just looked like LSU was – I don't want to say they weren't prepared, but they just looked way out of sync.
Yeah, they just looked shot prepared for that, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they just thought they were just going to roll the heat. FSU You know, since Mike Norvell's taking over play calling duties, I mean, you can tell mind how innovative that offense is. You know, they did a lot of great things yesterday. Football.
You finally saw. The pass game, moving the pocket. You finally saw the Memphis version, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the players that I coached a long time ago, Pokey Wilson, scored for him yesterday. So,
oh, there you go. Was he? Where was Pokey at?
Pokey was at Turner County, Ashburn, okay. Georgia.
Okay. And you were you made a stop at Turner. Oh, young Coach Troop. Probably Coach Troop that had less restraint, right?
Yes, that was mean Coach Troop back then.
Me, it was
soft in my old age. But it was great to see him, bounce back. You know, they brought a lot of recruits in, a lot of transfers in. It was good to see him, finally show, hey, I'm still here. You know, I can still ball and get two touchdowns each night. So I'm happy for Florida State. When Florida State's good, that makes the state of Florida that much more interesting, because all three teams won this weekend. So,
yeah, let's talk about
see how everything goes.
Well, I'll tell you that the cocktail party is going to be fun, right? Florida looked good.
Absolutely. Tickets have already gone. I was trying to get me and my wife going. That's my birthday.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Leading to my birthday. And so they're already like $1,000 higher just because what we did to Oregon and what they did to Utah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, Utah did everything right in that game except for the final play. Like, Cameron Rising, Tavion Thomas, that offense just moved the ball at will. But that very last decision was crucial. And both defenses, and I think it was a product of it being humid, the weather and things like that, being first game, both teams kind of out of shape defensively. But AR-15 is about as difficult as they get. And he doesn't like to be called AR-15 anymore. But Anthony Richardson is about as difficult as it gets to defend because dude is tall. He has a cannon. He can run. I mean, it's like he takes three strides and he's 20 yards downfield, and you're just like, whoa, what the hell happened here?
He's a grown man playing the quarterback position. Very DeMarcus Russell-like when he was at LSU, commanding of the offense.
I think he's a better athlete.
Faster. Absolutely. Just that back there. Just kind of reminds me of DeMarcus Russell. But he did some things Friday, Saturday night. I was impressed that the whole ball fake right there for the two-point conversion was absolutely amazing. The way he used his legs, the way he was throwing football. There's no question that he is QB1 in Florida. So it's going to depend on how everything goes between now and then. I think they got a tough test with Kentucky this weekend. We all know Kentucky and Florida. That game is always tough. This weekend, I mean, that game in Florida and Jacksonville is going to be more or less for the SEC East Championship, in my opinion.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, you look at that game and you look at the Tennessee game, and it's going to be like the early 2000s days where, there's always that triangle of Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida, in the early to mid-2000s and early 2010s where, like, You get this, like, Georgia beats Tennessee, Florida beats Tennessee, Georgia loses to Florida, and you get this, like, triangle of, each team has the same amount of losses and who's going to, it's basically like a coin flip. So, I mean, with Florida being as good as they are, maybe they're the second best team in the East. I don't know. We'll kind of see. This will be their first big test as far as playing a conference opponent to see kind of where they are. And I don't want to ever say I'm excited about Florida football, but watching Anthony Richardson was a lot of fun. I ended up watching that game more than I did the Ohio State Notre Dame game.
Yeah, that game was that game. I was flipping back and I was torn because I wanted to see could Notre Dame pull off the upset, you know. But once I realized that Jackson Igbo wasn't playing and they were missing a bunch of people offensively, I was like, this is not going to be good for us. You know,
they
but at the same time, absolutely. You know, and, you know, it's really different to see them do that. You know, it's usually they have a bunch of receivers on deck that can kind of come in and replace those guys. They just looked out of sync across the board. But that Florida game was absolutely – it was a great game. Great game.
No doubt. No doubt. And then there's some tough tests this week that we'll talk about in our pick segment. But let's move on. The title of the show is called Roast Duck. Georgia, let's talk about that game. Georgia, 49-3. You know, obviously, Coach Smart's going to say, he has to say, yeah, there's a lot of things that went right, a lot of things that went wrong. We'll fix the things that went wrong, and we'll plug right ahead. But luckily, we're not on the coaching staff, so we can kind of dwell on the positives here. So you go your first seven possessions, and you score seven times with ease. To five different players.
Mm-hmm.
McConkey had a pair, and I can't remember if anybody else had multiples, but it was absolutely impressive. The first touchdown, the reverse to McConkey, the naked bootleg out of the I formation to Stetson. Then you had the crazy pass to Ladd McConkey. Where Stetson dodged like four guys. That one got coached 30. That was funny. And then Georgia just dominated, just whipped Oregon's D-line and defensive front all freaking day long.
It was amazing to see how comfortable Stetson looked. I think that's the biggest takeaway that I get. And the biggest question was, how would he do, you know, coming in this year, you know, with all the pressure, blah, 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 blah. I don't think there's too many people doubting Stetson right now. He just took down our 11th team in the nation. Despite about it, they are still the number one team in the nation that he just put 49 on is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
looked like a scrimmage at practice.
He took command of the offense. I mean, they rallied around him. Washington out here hurling people.
Mm-hmm.
McConkey's just, you know, butt naked in the end zone. We're scoring on bootlegs. Mac and Milton are out here catching passes. They're running reverses. I mean, it was absolutely what we wanted to do.
It was wide open, fast paced. I mean, an offense that you wouldn't think in a million years that Kirby Smart would want to bring in and incorporate. And here we go. And here we are. And I'm absolutely here for it. I love it.
We stayed in a lot of 12 personnel the whole game. It's really hard to get those. You got three of them, but you can't keep them off the field. So, I mean, a lot of 12 personnel type stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Carey's got his touches too. The only thing that I didn't see Eric a whole lot in the game. But, I mean, it is what it is at that point. You know, it's kind of we get this horse and we're gonna see, you know, how it goes kind of flow. You know, so we just look great. Got to see Mims in there. I think Van Pran did a great job commanding the offensive line. Our offensive line just completely dominated Oregon. You know,
oh my god,
Broderick had a great game. Mm-hmm. I think he was on pressure the whole game.
I think he was pressured once, and it was on that bootleg. Every time we dropped back, it was just like he was sitting back there, sitting back there, sitting back there, sitting back there, bouncing, 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 bouncing. And he'd fire one and find somebody. I mean, it was like third. There's one situation. It was like third and 10. I was like, yeah, we got this, man. Like I didn't sweat once during that game. Like I was like, yeah, I've never watched a Georgia game and not felt like at some point we had a little pressure on us.
Yeah.
This one felt like we were playing an FCS opponent.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for who the head coach for the other team was, I'm pretty sure a lot worse. I think we kind of stopped ourselves a little bit offensively. And then you look at us defensively. I mean, we're smacking people around. We're playing fast. You know, we had a couple of assignments here and there, a little couple of busted coverages every once in a while. I mean, we're playing fast.
And Oregon was playing fast too.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're hitting people. We're just not wrapping up. So we have missed tackles here and there. But I mean, man, we're not skipping a beat on the defensive side either. Defense comes up with two picks. Having crack is absolutely amazing back there in the secondary. Mark picking off a pass like he's a receiver. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. You would think that it's a rebuild season. We just literally reloaded.
Yeah. I mean, Dumas Johnson was commanding in there on the interior. Nolan Smith was a problem. Smail Munden was a problem. Yeah. You got some guys rotated in at the defensive line that had some good reps, and every single one of them contributed. Jalen Carter I think he tossed an offensive lineman.
He completely just said, "Excuse me, I'm here to make a tackle," and just politely, aggressively moved homeboy out of the way.
Yeah, it didn't even look like he hardly touched him. It just looked like he kind of tapped him, and the guy went flying by.
Yeah, he was.
And then he went and just moved, crushed the running back.
Yeah, it was a completely dominating performance. You know, like I said earlier, if it wasn't for coach head coach, I think we brought 60 on Oregon.
Mm-hmm. I think honestly, if it was anybody still there.
Yeah, if it was anybody else as head coach, we would hunt 60.
Oh, totally. We would have totally made a statement in that one. And I am so glad we had that goal line stand at the end of the game. So glad.
Oh, absolutely.
Because 49-10 just does not have the same ring.
No, it just doesn't feel as good as 49 to 3. And you're lucky you got that 3.
Yeah. And they got that 3 early.
Yeah.
Like they had their Oregon's one good sustained drive.
Yes.
And they moved the ball. I mean, Oregon's not a bad team, but I mean, no. I think they're going to be competitive in the Pac-12.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to cause problems over there. It's just a measuring stick for how good they can be, despite the score. They did show some really good things. I think Bo Nix is going to Bo Nix against Georgia. I mean, that's just how it is. I think his upside is really good. He made decisions, but I think once he gets into the flow of things, you know, and it's not Georgia that he's playing, I think he's going to do fine. Honestly, yeah, I mean, I do wish him the best now after we played him.
Yeah, now we can root for Bo Nix and Oregon and Dan Lanning and stuff. We can go say, all right, Dan, you and Oregon are 0-1, or you and Utah are 0-1. Go over there and win the Pac-12. Get your title. I picked Utah to get in the playoff, and maybe they still have a chance because they could run the table in their conference, which is very possible. So, yeah, I'm super excited about this team. You know, I just think coming in, like, you're never really sure. Like, you hear things from practice, and you're never really sure if this team is going to be complacent based on winning the national championship. Mm-hmm. And they come in and, you know, get off to a sluggish start where it looks like we're kind of just still celebrating from this past January, and it didn't appear that way at all. And that's a credit to Kirby and his coaching staff for just making them believe that, hey, this is a new season. You know, what are y'all going to do? And this is, you know, and I'm not saying that that's going to mean we're going to win the conference and we're going to win the Natty and all that stuff, but it just means we're off to a really damn good start, and got Samford this week, South Carolina next. Mm-hmm. And that we'll kind of see where we're at, you know, going to South Carolina, which is hell's waiting room.
You'd think that we were 3-9 the way Coach Smart was coaching on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is jumping up and down. He's hot. You know, and the kids fed off that.
You would have thought the score was the other way around.
He cut your sheet. He had a good sleep after that game.
Mm-hmm. He probably got on that bus and passed out.
Absolutely. So, I mean, just a dominating just performance. You know, it's good to see. You know, we all knew that they weren't going to be complacent, but we didn't think it would go to the, you know, to come out and put up 49 scoring for seven possessions of the football game. You know, series, seven touchdowns. I mean, Stetson incompleted, what, five passes, if I'm not mistaken. He threw for over 300 yards.
And so, one of them was a throwaway, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those things to where this much – how much better can we get after this?
Yeah, I mean, they say the needle points up always after the first game. That's a scary thing. But if you want to get in the chat, go you know, if you're watching us via Facebook or Twitter, go over on to our YouTube channel at Believe in Georgia Dogs and subscribe, jump in into the chat. DGD is here. My man Robert Reynolds is in the chat. He's with us. If you want to join, by all means, your comments will New comments will display here if you guys can read the little overlay thing. So all of our social information is scrolling down below. So with an opponent like Samford, you go from such an emotional high against Oregon, such buildup to explode to a 49-3 victory. You know, what is the – like when y'all had a huge opponent to start, right? Y'all had – when you played – 09 was when y'all played Oklahoma State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who did y'all play next after that in 09?
Man, it was Oklahoma. We didn't play anybody big again until 11, if I'm not mistaken, Boise. The year before that, in 08, it might have been seven. We played Oklahoma at home. So,
yeah. So, like, yeah. In that 2000, like, when you were there, all the big games that you played, you know, 2009, I'm looking at this 2009 schedule. Y'all went straight from Oklahoma State to South Carolina to Arkansas.
We didn't get any time to let it sink in.
My God. I'm looking at this schedule that you guys played. It went at Oklahoma State, home against South Carolina, at Arkansas, mm-hmm. home against mm-hmm. Arizona State, which was a monsoon mm-hmm. game.
Monsoon.
Then home against LSU. That was the AJ Green celebration penalty, bogus celebration penalty, where he just glanced up in the
corner.
Yeah, and then we ended up losing that one. Then we're at Tennessee, at Vandy, cocktail party. We didn't get a reprieve. We had the bye week from between Vandy and Florida, but y'all didn't get a scheduled reprieve until November 7th when y'all played Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, dog.
Holy
that was,
cow.
That's what most people meant. I mean, that was a rough year.
Oh,
not just from
God.
Us in general, but just from a schedule standpoint. All those teams were.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, you had number 9, number 4, number 1, Florida. Number 7, Georgia Tech was number 7 that year.
Mm-hmm.
That was the year Georgia Tech won the ACC and went to the Orange Bowl.
That was it.
Yeah. Beat them at their place. That was the we run this state game, right?
It ran for like 4,000 yards against them.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one. I was like, oh, my God. This is awesome. Then y'all played A&M in the Independence Bowl. But, yeah, I mean, that was – let's see. Y'all went back-to-back L's that year at Tennessee and LSU. I remember going to the Tennessee game. I remember that was the last time I went to Neyland. That was the Lane Kiffin year where they ran nothing but bootlegs against you guys.
Yep, that was a nice fun night trip, to say the least. But, yeah. You know, when you play a big game like you just played, I think this week is more so get your feet back underneath you, you know, get back level-headed, you know, stop reading clippings. It's time to go back to work. I think this is also a time to where those guys at the bottom of the list, I mean, not bottom list, but bottom, you know, they start to get their reps in. You know, you build a comfortable lead. It is Coach Hatcher who's there with them and that whole crew during that time at VSU. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of mutual respect there. So, you know, it's not going to be one of those things to where here's your check, and we're going to beat the hell out of you, and y'all get back, bust your plane, and go home.
Yeah.
A lot of respect between those two. And a lot of gamesmanship. At the same time, you're there to win a football game. You're here to build some will. So this is a great time for, you know, if you're – I think this is – I don't know how much longer the red shirt deal is anymore in college football. So if I'm trying out the red shirt, you know, man, I'm trying to make a in this game.
I think you can play four games. So, like, you can get a lot of people in this game, I think. This would be a great one to get, like, Stetson to halftime and let him – you know, let him hang four touchdowns and call it a day and give it to Carson Beck and let him run it. I mean, I think if things are going well, I believe you can do that kind of thing.
I'm with it.
And let some of these good receivers get some reps.
Kind of, let's pad AB up a little bit. These games right here, times to where you don't want to show a lot because obviously the other team's going to get the film, but you also want to know – Show some love to your receivers because we already know our MO, what we're going to do. You know, kind of show some love to your receivers right here, throw the thing around a little bit. You know, let's try some run things, you know, kind of see if we like things like that, you know, experiment a little bit, but experiment within your offense, making up plays to see if you can do.
Not just going to the, here's a few plays that I think will work.
Let's stay within the realm of our offense. Hit a little tags defensively. You know, making sure that we can play zone, making sure we can play man, making sure we blitz. You know, we're hitting our gaps and things like that. Just kind of tweaking some things. You didn't run against Oregon. You know, show just a little bit against Samford, kind of see how it works. Way, you know, if you need to tweak it moving forward.
Well, Samford's an air raid team, so you're going to get plenty of work.
Absolutely. It kind of get you ready for the Alabamas and then
Tennessee. You
know, Tennessee, whenever they – Tennessee especially, because we already go moving forward. So this is a game that can prepare you. It can either hurt you or it can prepare you, but I think we're going to let it prepare for the road ahead.
Well, as long as we don't go watch film from Iowa, South Dakota State, on how to play an FCS team where you get 7 points, but not a single touchdown was scored.
Yeah, that's both teams,
7-3, and you had two safeties and a field goal.
I've never heard of that happening in a football game before.
It was about ugly as it gets. Yeah, it's a bit. Spencer Petras was about as dreadful as you could be. So you hope that Stetson, I mean, obviously this
is
some bad football here. This is just bad. The talent discrepancy between these two teams should be reflecting that right now, but
absolutely. Absolutely. All right. But back to our boy, Stetquavius Bennett.
Yep, Stetquavius, man. It's that tight fade, dude. If he can come out and fire on all cylinders.
He was like, you know, he's got that thing lined up, you know, before next week.
Yeah, he's got to keep it now. Absolutely. He has no choice. That's his edge, man. Stop me. Feel free to stop me. Feel free to jump in and stop me. But I've been hearing rumblings of New York City with Stetson Bennett. Please stop me.
If he keeps it up,
he's not your quintessential New York City guy, if you catch my drift here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Does he at least get an invite if he keeps these numbers up?
If he keeps up, I don't see how he's not invited. in my opinion. He's not gonna, he might not win it. So he's not gonna win it. He might not win it. But if he keeps right,
I think it's
now against the top notch talent that he's about to get.
Yeah.
Really good chance that he's gonna get invited to New York.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's about as wide open as it gets. I mean, Bryce Young has every chance in the world to be able to get it, but yeah, if he keeps it up, man, he deserves it because those numbers are great. The impact that he has on this team is great. I mean, I was listening to Kirby Smart's press conference, and he was talking about, somebody asked him about what led to you sticking with Stetson. Was it difficult? And he said, no. I mean, it's what we needed at the time to fit what we do, and we needed somebody mobile. We need somebody that can move around and take command of this offense. And he got people to believe. Like, if you don't, absolutely, like, if you are a Stetson Bennett hater or doubter at this moment, I don't know what else he can show you, to be honest with you. I don't know what else he can do.
He is absolutely. I mean,
I just don't know.
He's everything you want a quarterback. He and being the second year, and it's as far as this, the guy. Well, I guess it's the first year that he's the guy.
Yeah. It's the first time he's been unequivocally the guy.
When it's you, and you don't have to look over your shoulder all the time, you just go out there and play ball.
And you know that he's doing. You got the weapons. Very comfortable.
I mean, the weapons we have is just crazy. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal, the weapons we have. I'm just so excited with the team, man. Also, not just because of the things that we have, you know, just offensively and defensively, obviously that's important, but just the fact that we came out and tended to beat the hell out of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, teams in years past would have, this game would have been a 24-10 mm-hmm. get out of there. You know, you look good enough to win, but there's some things that you point to, you're like, okay, this is a concern. I know I should feel that way. I know I should feel like, you know, there's got to be something with this team. But like the way this team played on Saturday, it's like they're out to prove, hey, we lost 15 guys to the draft. Mm-hmm. We can still whip your butt.
Yeah,
I don't care if you have one ass cheek and three toes, man. We're still going to kick your ass. Like, did they listen to him? Did MCDC come down and talk to him pregame? Did he come down there and motivate him a little bit?
But whoever did, I mean, this team, we appreciate it.
That was a motivated performance, man. It was like this team was like, hell no, we ain't gonna be the headline of, oh, well, you know, Georgia had a lot to replace. This team took it. As Michael Jordan say, I took it personally.
Yeah, took it personally.
And they played like it, man. They played with an edge. And I love it.
Absolutely. Edge stay against a not so
home
formidable.
Opener, It's got to. It's a home opener. It's a home opener. Yeah. You know they're going to come out, jump out to a 35-0 lead and pull the starters and – you know, Carson Beck and Brock Vandegrift are going to get their run out. And, you know, you're going to see Jackson Meeks have a big day and guys like that.
Mm-hmm. When they unveiled
Branson Robinson,
the 2021 thing for the chip, man, that place is going to be rocking. When they announced your 2021 national champion, Georgia Bulldogs, as they're about to come
of the first home game. Here comes the smoke, and they can't really do the light show during the day, but you know,
the trumpet is going to be glaring before the game. I mean, it's going to be a great app.
That highlight package that's going to have the Keely Ringo. I'm getting goosebumps, man. The Keely Ringo pick on the highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's hard to really hype up this game with Samford. I mean, that, you know, they're a good air raid team. They're going to be a solid force in the Southern Conference at the FCS level, but it's just hard. It's just hard to hype this one up. So, you know, for me, just stay healthy, play sharp, let the backups go and let the backups, let Carson Beck run the offense like you did a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then just ball out and let's get ready for South Carolina.
There you go. In the heat box, which Carolina. I've been telling people for a long time that it's questionable. He's very much
you didn't have to convince me.
Now, it is a very good Georgia State program. Coach Elliott has done a great job with getting that, you know, on the map. They've been winning ever since he's gotten there. And at the same time, I mean, dude, you've been a starter before. You know, did you think coming to the SEC was going to be easier? No. So I wasn't impressed. Well, I was not Mr. Rattler.
Well, hold your thoughts on South Carolina, because we need to jump into our pick segment, because I'm gonna go through some of these games, and we're gonna make some picks. All right, we're gonna make some conference picks. We're gonna make a couple out of conference picks, but we're gonna make some picks. So, on your Spencer Rattler comments and point, South Carolina travels to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Now, South Carolina is 8.5-point underdogs at this moment. That line will probably get teased down to about 7 or 6.5 by week's end. I
bet. Taking Arkansas no matter what.
Yeah, I am too. I'm just not sold. And I'm not sold. I'm with you. I'm not sold on Spencer Rattler. I wasn't sold on Saturday. It's just.
He's about to see better defense in Arkansas than he saw from Georgia State on Saturday.
Oh, way better. Way better. But that's a noon kick. UNC Georgia State. UNC, I picked this game for one reason. The over is set at 68. I don't care about the line. The over is set at 60. The over under is set at 68.
That's tough. Georgia State. I got to go with UNC. I think they've been playing football. I think the offense is going to be good enough to
get out of some trouble. Do they hit the over? That's the question.
Ooh.
North Carolina is going to win this game. They're going to win by probably 10 plus points.
I don't think.
Do they hit the over?
I don't think. I think Georgia State's defense is a little bit better than Appalachian State's defense.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, another out of conference game. Jeez, man. The battle of the ACT and the smart people schools. Duke travels to Chicago, take on Northwestern. Duke is 9.5-point dogs. I'm taking Northwestern. Duke is pretty bad.
Who can be more?
It's gonna be Northwestern. Northwestern run the ball.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Duke. I'm going to go with Duke on this one.
Okay, go with Israel. noon kick from the SEC. Missouri travels to take on Kansas State. They travel to the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, to take on the Wildcats of K-State. K-State, an extremely physical football team. They are 8-point favorites at home over Missouri. I'm taking Kansas State. I think this game will kind of get ugly a little bit.
I'm taking Kansas State too. I think they're clicking right now. They're having a lot of fun over there and right now. Since the new regime's kind of come in. They're a little bit both sides of the ball too now. So
yes. They finally got some pieces in there. Yeah, Missouri. I'm not sold on Drinkwitz. I'm just not. He's not a good fit. No, Big noon kickoff. What? He's a dork.
They said he looks like a preacher or something like that. That
high CC coaches, youth pastor or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
He looks like a youth pastor. Yeah, that's always a funny graphic. Kirby was the private school history teacher.
Yeah.
Christian school history teacher. That's what it was. That's funny. Big noon kickoff. Gus Johnson, Joel Klatt, Fox game of the week. Bama rolls into Austin, takes on the Longhorns. Bama's 20-point favorites. Do they get that on the road?
I'm going to take Texas.
Yeah. I just think the spread is too much. I think Bama wins, but
I think 20 is a lot.
I just have a hard time believing they're going to blow Texas out by more than 20 points. I mean, yeah. Georgia did it to Oregon, so, I mean, it's definitely possible. But this is Texas Super Bowl right here. Like, this is the game they've been living up for.
Dude, with that whole brand-new stadium, that stadium mm-hmm. is sweet now. Longhorn on the opposite end of the end zone right there, man. You can't.
Yeah, that you got, thing you got Bevo. Nice. You got, I mean, it's just – I don't think Texas is going to win this game.
No.
They may not even, you know, Bama may even win by two touchdowns, but two touchdowns is not 20 points.
Yeah, I think 20.
So I'm taking the points here. I'm riding the points here. I'm taking the Longhorns as well. I agree with you there.
Yep.
All right, Vanderbilt rolling, man. Mike Wright is a track star. I mean they had a significant weather delay, and I think that, you know, I think that allowed them to lose focus, and Elon scored probably way more than they should. But Vanderbilt, they're playing hard. They can run the football. Much, much improved year two under Clark Lee. They're 8-point underdogs at home against Wake Forest. Wake Forest comes in without Sam Hartman. Does Vandy have a chance?
I think they do. I think Vandy has. I'd have to watch Wake a little bit more, but right if they play right now, I think Vandy's playing some inspired football. He's going to be a scary team, you know, down the road right here. I feel like because they're playing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are. Mike Wright is a special dude, and he's gaining more confidence. He's getting more comfortable, which is a scary thing because his running ability is out of this world, man. He's fast. He's lightning quick. If Wake Forest had Sam Hartman, I would say Wake Forest, no doubt.
Yeah,
because he is that kind of quarterback. Like like I had him pegged as ACC Player of the Year before he went out.
Yeah, he's a game changing type of guy. But without him, that offense doesn't move. Mm-hmm. So I think it does chance to kind of, you know, do some good things in this football game.
Yeah, I'm taking Vandy here. Can you imagine Vandy starting the season 4-0? Do they get ranked at that point?
No, dog. They still ain't played nobody other than Wake Forest if they beat them.
They just
played hilarious. Why he just got on by Western this weekend? So
yeah,
catch.
No, but just to troll everybody, they should rank them like 25th.
That would be funny.
That would be funny. That would really piss off this next team. The Vols traveled to Accenture Stadium, I think that's what it's called now. Used to be Heinz Field. They take on Keaton Slovis and the Pitt Panthers. They make a return trip to Pittsburgh. They are 7-point favorites on the road. Hendon Hooker had a great start to the season. They had a 59-10 beatdown of Ball State, who I think were MAC champions a year ago, if I remember correctly, without looking it up. Tennessee got stomped by Pitt last year.
Mm-hmm.
Can they return the favor, or is Pitt going to be a tough opponent at home?
The spread?
Seven
in Tennessee's favor.
Yes, and the over is 65.5, and I'm tempted to take Tennessee and the over.
I think I'm gonna take Tennessee here, mm-hmm. but I also think that it might be a little bit closer. I think it's going to be a 3-point ball game. The fact of this, tempo is all good if you get 4,000. And Pittsburgh defense is pretty sporty. They are pretty good. I think their defensive line are top notch. I know that for a fact.
Yeah,
so they can get the hooker.
It's picked run. One. Yeah.
It is going to be a long time for those guys.
I think Pitt has a good chance of winning the ACC. I think in watching all the ACC teams in action, Florida State and Pitt jump out to me as the best two teams in the ACC at this moment.
Yeah, and I think when Miami's a team, I think we'll kind of see what they're about once they play a real.
They played Bethune-Cookman, I think, so it's hard to get it's hard to gauge anything off of that. But I do think they have some promise. But Pitt won convincingly in the backyard brawl. Even if the score was close, I feel like they were in control of that game the whole way. Obviously, Florida State, we talked about that earlier in the show. So I'm taking Tennessee here. I'm going to take the over because it's going to take that. It's going to take them hitting the over for Tennessee to win this game and to cover. So that's my pick. Wisconsin, Appalachian State coming into A&M. Appalachian State's plus 17. They gave UNC all that they could handle. A&M looked rough with Haynes King. A, do they go with Max Johnson? And B, does App State have a chance to not only cover, but pull the upset here?
After what they did and their struggles on offense, I think App State has a chance to winning this ball game. At least covering. Yes. I think they, but they also might.
I think the cover
really did cover really in this ball game.
Yeah,
I think A&M. Chase A&M, Price, man. Yeah, he just kind of think he had a moment right there at the end, but they just played North Carolina well and took this weekend. Defense not, but obviously they did.
No, but they played Sam Houston State. And like that game shouldn't have been as much of a struggle as it was.
Absolutely, especially with your defense playing. Which gives me hope for Appalachian State. Now, Appalachian State wins. I think Texas A&M wins. But I think Appalachian State covers it.
Yeah, 17 is a lot of points for someone who just hung 61 on a Power 5 opponent.
I know. And then you look at Justin right now, that spread, that one was 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need them to tighten up right about now.
Yeah. And it looks like they're kind of getting control of it now. Washington State at Wisconsin. It's an interesting matchup. Washington State plus 17. Wisconsin favored. Wisconsin looked a lot better. Graham Mertz is finally kind of looking like the quarterback that he was at the beginning of the season, two seasons ago, when they played Illinois and beat the dog crap out of them.
Yeah, it looks like such a random matchup, at least.
It is. That's why I thought it was interesting.
But I think Wisconsin, the physicality of how they – their brand of football, and it's right.
Yeah.
So you know,
Randall,
what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen in Wisconsin on campus that night. So I'm taking Wisconsin wholeheartedly right here.
Oh yeah, I'm taking the Badgers for sure. They're going to cover that. Plus, some Braylon Allen had the longest touchdown run in school history with a 96-yard scamper against Illinois State. So, here's one that I want to talk about this one because it's hilarious. Because Iowa is so awful, so bad on offense. They host the Cyclones. Iowa's 3.5-point favorites. The over-under set at 41.
I'm going to repeat that. Iowa State, right?
Yeah.
Iowa State's going to win that ball game.
Iowa State's going to kill them. Iowa can't score. Iowa can't move the ball.
Yeah.
No, they can't. And when they do, they can't make the field goal. Like, they're bad.
You haven't even sniffed the end zone yet.
No. The only unit to sniff the end zone was the defense, and they did it twice last week. They got safeties. Two defensive safeties. Like, not even a special team safety. Two defensive safeties. Yeah, I'm taking the Cyclones.
Yeah, dog. That's for sure.
All right, Kentucky, Florida. Florida's 4.5-point favorites in the Swamp. What do we like here?
Swamp this year?
It's in the Swamp. I'm taking Florida.
I think I got to go Boy, if it was in Kentucky, I'd take Kentucky. Got to go with Florida in the swamp.
Sorry,
after what they did last week.
Yeah.
Did last week. I mean, the energy that they're going to play with, Anthony Richardson is that guy.
Yeah.
I'd have not gotten to see it, so I need to look at that. But if I go right now, then I got to go with – I've got to go with Florida on this one.
I'm with you there. And the last one we're going to pick, it is an SEC game, but it is the Pac-12 after dark. It is the 11th. It'll be an 11 p.m. kick for you, Israel. The Bulldogs, the Pirate himself, who's used to playing in this time slot, travel out to Tucson to take on the Bearcats. Bearcats, right? Wildcats.
It was who? Arizona?
Arizona.
The Wildcats.
Wildcats. Who's the other Bearcats?
Cincinnati Bears.
What? So why does Arizona do bear down? Don't they? Aren't there? Isn't their slogan bear down?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a sideboard really thing.
So I don't really know.
Yeah, they. Yeah. Well, they haven't really given you much reason to. They are 10.5-point dogs at home against the Pirates in Mississippi State. I'm obviously
talking Mississippi
State here. Yeah, I believe it too. Yeah, they're pretty bad. They showed a little bit of a pulse.
Yeah, Mississippi State physicality kind of turned down. Arizona State also hasn't shown any cares me to be worried about them. So
yeah, well, I'm definitely taking the Bulldogs. Go Dogs. And I don't think Cassidy Johnson says, is Brian Kelly an SEC coach? That was sad last night. Yes. Uncle Lou.
Really?
Clemson has no hope, according to him. Yeah. Uncle Lou. This game's pretty pitiful. So, but anyway, that's going to do it for us, though. That's going to.
Now, 7 passes tonight by one person. It's 5, but I'm counting other just because.
There you go. There you go.
Try to draw them offside, 42-yard line. Not
mighty. Yeah.
Just punt the ball. Oh, they're going for it. Oh, he falls. Oh man, this is wonderful.
Do you think Jeff Collins threw his Waffle House cup?
Right. Jeff Collins don't make it through the rest of the season.
I hope he does. They can't afford to, though. They can't afford to fire him.
He's
a terrible buyout.
They're not playing, like, honestly, they're really not.
They're playing inspired football. But this ain't – you and I both know this ain't going to last.
Yeah.
It's not. I wish it – I mean, for Tech fans, I bet they wish it would. But, like, it's just – Jeff Collins is, you know, not the answer.
Yeah,
it's just when not. I
love his suit we had on today. I like the color scheme.
I mean, he's very oddly shaped too. Yeah,
the seaming, the seams, and everything is kind of suit was on point. Though. I will give him that.
It cut off like he had the ankle showing, the capris,
the capris suit. Ashy.
Yeah. He's trying to rock he's going to rock the LeBron suit. You know, the shorts. You remember when LeBron
I'm all for, you know, I got a couple pair in my closet or whatever, but you know, I'm that, you know, my ankles look good.
joggers and a suit are two totally different things.
That is very true. But you know, they're going
like
to
people
ankle showing suits these days, man. So, you
know. Well, people with Jeff Collins and I's body types, like showing off ankles is just with me, I'm vertically challenged. So, showing off ankles is probably never going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's just as long as I live, that will never happen because I just don't I just can't find. I'll have to get him hemmed like a 23 length just to show the ankles a little bit. I mean, it's going to get, they're going to get real short, and I'm going to look goofy. Like me personally, I would look terrible in a suit like that. Mm-hmm. And so does Jeff Collins. The jacket's on point, yeah. The design's on point, but I just don't. It's too tight, and it's
the color scheme and everything is very, very good. I do like that.
Yeah,
actual
but
it's questionable.
It's cut like weird. It fits him weird. That's like what it skinny. Is.
You got to embrace your body.
It fits him. It's a. Yeah, I mean, dude, it's like he's wearing a skinny suit, and he's not a skinny dude. Like, I know better than to wear a skinny suit.
Yeah.
I don't wear skinny suits for that reason, because I'm not skinny.
Yeah.
I like to eat.
That's true. I like to eat. I
like to eat a lot. I really like to drink beer for like a decade. I drank too much of it.
I like to coach Pittman. I like to have every once in a while.
Yeah.
More often than not.
Some people, I'm the dude that brings the cold beer to the. Oh my God, he would have had it too. I'm the guy that brings cold beer to the barbecue. And if it's a dry barbecue, I'm bringing sweet tea, yep. Which is equally as bad for you.
Jeez. So
that's me.
That's Come on, good. Clemson. I need you to score 10 points. Help brother out here. I actually took 22 here.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I did.
There you teased it down to 22.
I had to. I felt my soul told me that it wasn't going to happen.
Right. You kind of have to, but anyway, that's going to do it for us. We're gonna go finish this Georgia Tech Clemson game elsewhere. Got school tomorrow.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, got school tomorrow. Boo. But anyway, we are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Network. Follow us on social media. It's scrolling down below. We thank you, Cassidy and Robert, for joining the show with the comments. Keep them coming. Subscribe. Get our numbers up. We had our show hit close to 400 viewers last week, and we were lucky to get 20 viewers a few weeks ago. So the view counts are going up. So join in before.
It always does. Also, some great content, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Good way to get it too. So beginning of the week, we get that fresh reaction. So we hope you enjoyed. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast presented by Bet Online. We thank you for listening. We thank you for watching. And we'll catch you back here next week. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.